He's starred in plenty of romances, but now Billy Dee Williams is trying his hand at writing one. The Legendary's ladies' man will release his first romance novel, Twilight. It's published by Tor Books, about a passionate affair between a female judge and a Hollywood actor who bears a striking resemblance to Williams. Billy Dee Williams is on the line with us right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I heard what you said. Well, actually, it's true. It's loosely based on a few moments in my life.
Well, people always say, write what you know.
Well, I think that's the best thing to do.
Now, you've co-written this book with Elizabeth Atkins Bowman, right?
Right. She's a romance novelist, and we got together as a result of we both have the same agent, and I had been thinking about writing a romance novel for a long time. I thought it was a little bit appropriate for me to do it for some dumb reason. But it's very entertaining, and it's a lot of fun, and it has all of the usual dramatic themes based on murder and romance and mystery.
Now, a lot of books, of course, especially romance novels, have been turned into movies.
Well, that was the whole idea, because I also got involved with two other books about a couple of years back with Rob McGregor, but that revolved around psychic spying, about remote viewing, or something I got myself interested in. But the reason why I get myself involved in these things is because, first of all, I like to stay busy. Second of all, I'm just trying to get people interested in doing either a film or doing television with this stuff.
In addition to writing, I mean, something that you've done for quite a long time, you also paint, correct?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, where are you, in Montreal?
That's right.
Yeah, well, in Toronto, I have an exhibition going on at the Brian List Gallery. And it's been going on for about a couple of months now, I think, 2 or 3 months.
Didn't you actually paint before you acted?
Yeah, I started out as a painter in New York. I grew up in New York City, and I went to a school. My sister and I went to a school called Music and Art High School, which is a school that specializes in the talented young people with certain artistic abilities, all artistic abilities. But after I left there, I got a scholarship to a school called the National Academy of Fine Arts, National Academy of Design for the Fine Arts, and I spent 2 years there on the scholarship, won some major awards there.
So how does someone gravitate from being an artist to being an actor?
Well, I started acting when I was 6 and a half years old on Broadway, in a Broadway musical, a Cork Bound musical, and that's how I... That was my first introduction to my show business, unfortunately.
You say unfortunately?
Well, show business I find rather amusing. But it's great fun, and if you have success with it and you're able to do the things that you like to do, then it's a great way to exist. When I was at the Academy, I was painting, and I wanted to make money to buy canvases and paints and stuff like that. So I started doing extra work, and then it sort of evolved from there.
So what exactly is your passion? Is it the painting, the writing, or the acting, or?
Well, all of it, everything. Life is passion for me. To me, there's not much difference. I mean, the only difference is that you're using, you're painting pictures no matter what you do. If you're an actor, you're painting pictures. When you're a writer, you're painting pictures. You're just using different tools. I don't want to give up on life. I don't want to be idle. I want to be viable. I guess maybe that has a lot to do with it.
We are talking with Billy Dee Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. I was going to say actor Billy Dee Williams, and I thought, no, painter Billy Dee Williams. No, author Billy Dee Williams. Renaissance man Billy D. Williams. That's who we're talking to here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800-790-0991, Star Talk 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. Maureen, hi, in NDG, you're on CJD.
Good evening, Mr. Williams.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, it's a pleasure speaking to you.
Oh,
you have a lot of fans up here in Montreal.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Thank
yes,
you.
We've seen a lot of your movies. I enjoyed when you played Gail Sayers in Brian Song.
Yes.
Yes, and yes. Then we saw you on Dynasty with Diane Carroll, which we enjoyed. I mean, anything you were in, we enjoyed up here.
Well,
where
I'm glad
I worked,
to hear
everybody.
That. Great.
Right. And I saw you were on a show one time, too, and you brought some of your paintings on?
Yeah, yes.
Uh-huh, and they were very nice, really. I wish you had a showing up in Montreal. Do you think you will?
Well, if I can find a gallery up there, I'd love to come up to Montreal. I've never been to Montreal, actually.
Never been to? Oh, you would love it.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, you would love it up here.
From what I understand, I'm sure I would.
Okay, well, I hope I hope you could find a gallery up here because it would be, I would love to see them.
Well, I'll check around.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much.
Maureen. Bye-bye. 7900-991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. In addition to the show you mentioned in Toronto, you even have some stuff in the Smithsonian, correct?
Yeah, I have I have one painting, a self-portrait, which I was asked to do for the National Portrait Gallery. So they own one of my pieces, yes.
How would you describe, for those who haven't seen your paintings, are they mostly portraits? Do you do landscapes?
Actually, I started out as a portrait painter, and I love doing portraits. But I worked a lot of different themes. I actually call my work abstract reality, and what I mean by that is, as real as things are, they are as abstract. I mean, that is, I give you what's obvious to the eye, and then I do things within the painting that have a kind of an abstract feeling, which allows you, it's a device, it allows you to bring your own, as a spectator, to bring your own experience into it. In other words, I don't always try to spell everything out completely.
I understand you even recently, or at some point, did a portrait of Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, I'm almost finished with it. But she never had a portrait done of her, so I decided to do one for her.
it must be interesting, the fact that since you do so many things, and now the book is coming out, the book entitled Twilight, you probably have fans in various generations from various venues that you service in entertainment. It must be rather interesting to have fans who are fans of your artwork, fans who are fans of your films over a long period of time. It's a wide spectrum.
Well, I'm a very fortunate individual. Look, my world is an aesthetic world. It's a creative world, and it's always been that way all my life. And I have to follow that particular rule. I'm not a warrior. I've never been a warrior. I'm just a person who really likes to interpret this whole living experience, if I can, interesting way. And I'm always looking to do it. I try to approach things in a way so that it's what I call a departure. You know, I'm like that guy who exists between two arguments, between black and white. I'm the guy who, I said to my daughter one time, I live in a gray area, and she said, Daddy, you can't live in a gray area. And I said, well, let me try to explain. For me, I'm like the full spectrum of colors. And I think once you have that mindset, then everything becomes much more interesting, because you're not battling to hold on to one point of view as opposed to another point of view, but you're incorporating everything. So my idea is to, it's an eclectic life. My idea is to go through life really embracing everything and trying to bring some interesting point of view about it.
We are talking with Billy D. Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. Greg in Le Plateau, hi, you're on CJD.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, I'd like to say hi to Billy D.
Yeah, hi.
As the former caller mentioned, there's quite a few of your fans up here in Montreal.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm hoping to see you up here this coming summer. Well, my first question to you is...
I'm going to be in Alabama this summer, which is not going to be very pleasant.
Oh, wow.
I have to go down there and shoot a movie. But anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
What movie that's going to be?
It's a movie called Constellation. It's an independent movie.
And who's going to be starring in it?
I know, they're still casting it right now. I have no idea who else is going to be in it yet. But I should be shooting it within the next 4 weeks.
Let's say in the future that your book was going to be a movie, and you had the opportunity to choose who was going to be the leading lady in that movie. Who would you choose?
Well, because of the description of the character, I would think of somebody like Vanessa Williams.
Is she related to you by any chance?
No, she's not actually, no.
Oh,
But she has the quality that describes the Simone Thompson in the book.
When you write something like this, as you're writing it, do you cast it in your mind?
Yeah, I think at some point you start seeing certain people, yeah. But these characters, it's called Twilight, and they're really like Twilight people. They're like people who are, and a lot of it takes place in Brazil, for instance. And I wanted Brazil. Elizabeth and I agreed to do Brazil because Brazil is a fantastic place because of the mixture of the people. You have the African, European, and Indian, and you get that mixture. It's such an extraordinary thing to see, and not only is it in the physical beauty, but it's also in the energy of the people. So I really wanted to talk about that aspect of our living experience.
You have another question, Craig?
Well, my final question is basically... I would like to know exactly where his mom is from. Where your mom is from, Billy?
My mother is from, we're all from New York City, but my family, father's side of the family, they're from Texas. My mother's side of the family, they're from the British West Indies.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also the border states. One of the things that I always found interesting about the roles you played as an actor, and it sounds like the same thing is happening with the characters you're writing in the book. They are from a certain standing, a certain station in life that you don't necessarily see, or at least you didn't necessarily see a lot in the past as far
Absolutely.
As Blacks are involved.
Absolutely, that's the whole idea, is to bring it a step up, you know, from the usual kind of stereotypical kind of things that we seem to be inundated with. You know, there's a whole life that exists, or there are many aspects to this life that exist that we don't talk about. And I feel I sort of designated myself to perpetuate a certain point of view.
One of the callers previous mentioned Dynasty, and I remember at the time when Diane Carroll was first cast in the role on that show, the thing I remember reading about her, what she said, was the fact that it was not enough the fact that she had an opportunity to play a rich black character, but she got to be bitchy, which is something that...
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm talking about. The colors start coming in. You know, because you're breaking away from the usual approach to, you know, it's a stereotype. You know, there's nothing more of an ennui than stereotype to me.
Yeah. We're talking with Billy D. Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Sharma, we lost Sharma. Sharma and NDG can call back. 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and also the border states. At around the time when you were making a lot of films that were doing great box office, when you did things like... Bingo Long for one, and Mahogany, and of course...
Maybe.
Yes, exactly, Lady Sings the Blues, stuff like that. You were a large box office draw, and I'm sure that was A, based on your talent, but also, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, part of it was, well, there was already a young, suave, black leading man, so no one was going to look for a second one. Was that part of the situation, that they pigeonhole you, you know, we have Billy D. Williams, so we don't need another Billy D. Williams?
I guess so. I would imagine so. I don't know. I know that what I presented on the screen was something entirely different from anything that anybody had experienced at that point.
Because
certainly at that point.
Exactly. You know, there. You know, you look around on the white side of things, for instance, and let's look at today's films. You have a lot of leading men. You've always had a lot of leading men.
Right.
But when a black leading man comes along, that seems to be it. It's very, very hard to break into that, and once one person does, it almost closes the door behind them to a certain degree.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what
at
to
that,
say about that.
At that time, not necessarily now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I really didn't. I hadn't considered it. You know, you know, when you're an actor, you just your whole it's like living desperation every day. You know, you know if you're out of work for a week, you think your whole career is gone. So, somebody once told me about that, a friend of mine who used to train a lot of the guys at MGM, Terry Robinson. He was telling me about it, and he was friendly with a lot of those guys, and he was telling me about Clark Gable, who he said Gable. He said when Gable was out of work for a week, he was like miserable. He thought his life was over. So, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that there's that whole human element that exists with all of us, you know, no matter what gifts have been given to us or benefits that have been given to us.
We are talking with Billy D. Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Billy is co-authored a book called Twilight, along with Elizabeth Atkins Bowman, which is just on its way out. It is published by Tor Books. 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Scott, hi, you're on CJD.
Billy D., how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. What are the chances that they might need to bring back Lando Calrissian in the third episode of Star Wars?
I have no idea. When he's about 80 years old, I guess. Running another scam somewhere, I don't know.
So there's probably not much of a chance that you'll jump back into that character?
No, I doubt it. I think I did what I was supposed to do, and that was it.
You happy that you did it?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding?
Yeah, okay.
It was a great opportunity. It was a great opportunity to work with George Lucas, whom I really have a real high regard for.
All right. Do you chat with any of the old guys?
I'm sorry?
Do you hang out with any of the old guys, maybe like the Mark Hamills or someone like that?
No, I think everybody's sort of living their own lives.
Well, great. Well, yeah, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Bye-bye. 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. What was it like going through that whole Star Wars experience? Because, you know, you spend years as an actor, you do some great work, and then all of a sudden, you're an action figure. Yeah, there are toys in the stores that look like you, and kids are following you around.
Well, listen, I mean, how many people in life have that kind of an opportunity? I mean, it's a fantastic experience.
At least you did the second and third movie, which is now considered the fourth and fifth movie.
Right.
But so at least you knew when you were going in that there already was, so to speak, a Star Wars phenomena, right? Did you anticipate? Were you prepared for the type of adulation that a role like that brings?
Well, I think it's really that whole experience is really truly a phenomenon. I mean, I went to one of these celebration of a science fiction convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, not too long ago, and it was the Lucas was celebrating their 25th anniversary of Star Wars, and I was really amazed. I mean, there were like 45,000 people there. I mean, I was absolutely amazed and it's a kind of thing that following that's going to continue from generation to generation to generation. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, there are kids who are now discovering that role and now discovering that film, and it's as you say, it is perpetual.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of mythology. You know, I think people are always fascinated with their own mythology. You know, it's like, and we're certainly always very much concerned about life and death and good and evil and all of those kind of things. And that's, I think, that dilemma is something, especially when it's done as entertainment, can be very engaging.
What did you bring to the role of Lando Calrissian that was not on the page?
Oh, it's me. Me and my lovely self.
We are talking with Billy D. Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader. CJD 800-790-0991 is the number to call. Star Talk 1-800-491-CJD. The book is called Twilight. It is a romance novel that he co-wrote with Elizabeth Atkins Bowman. It is published by Tor Books. If you have any questions for Billy, line's free if you want to call in. We'll continue on the other side of the news. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. A few lines free if you want to call in. 790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. We are talking with Billy D. Williams, who is an actor, painter, and now romance novelist. The book is entitled Twilight. He co-wrote it with Elizabeth Atkins Bowman, and it is just coming out now. If you have any questions for Billy, line's free. 790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Paul in La Plateau, hi, you're on CJD.
Very good, Peter. Mr. Williams, good morning, I should say.
How are you? Good. Nice to hear your voice.
I have a very, it's a question. Do you know the name Bill Bodkin?
Yes, that's my uncle.
Right on. Is he still with us?
Yeah, he's very
ill.
Is he
in New York?
Right, yeah, he's in New York and, with Carlo and, he's almost 90 years old now.
God bless him. Yeah, the last time I saw him was here in Montreal. I had an evening, I put a party together at the Ritz-Carlton. I invited him up. He had quite a touch with the opera.
Right. We were all raised around opera all of our lives, actually. He has a beautiful voice.
He's a lovely man, and if you see him before I do, give him my love, will you?
Now, what's your name?
Paul.
Paul.
Just tell him Paul from Montreal.
Now, Paul, how do you know Billy D. Williams' uncle?
Oh, I met him in New York. Would you believe I was playing the piano in a little bar and enjoying myself, I might add. I wasn't doing it professionally.
When was this?
Hey? Oh, it was right near where his apartment is.
No, but I mean, when? When was it?
Oh, heck, that was 14 years ago.
Oh.
So it's been a long time, but I'm glad to hear he's still with us. He's a beautiful man.
Small world.
Yes, sir. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, I certainly will tell him that I talked to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. 790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. One of the big roles you had was in the movie Brian Song, where you played Gail Sayers.
Right.
A TV movie.
Right.
And it did so well.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was one of those extraordinary experiences. That's when people ask me about it, I sort of encapsulated by saying that it was an act of love. The whole experience was like one of those perfect, rare moments in one's life.
Did you work a lot with Gail Sayers in playing that role?
You know, he and I, we used to see each other all the time, but it was always a kind of a furtive kind of exchange. You know, I was always watching him to pick up certain idiosyncrasies, and he was always watching me to see what I was doing, but we rarely ever talked. As a matter of fact, I finally, at one point, I said, you know, I really feel you. You are, there's simpatico here. I really understand you. I know you. I don't even really need to spend a lot of time with you. There was something very spiritual about that whole experience.
There was also great chemistry between you and James Caan.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was perfect. even with Buzz Kulick, who directed it. I mean, it was the whole, everybody involved, the whole experience was like walking into one of those wonderful doors, into a wonderful room. That's what that experience was like.
Just recently, ABC remade it. Some people said it was a good idea. Some people said it was a bad idea. You know,
well, I don't know why they decided to do it again. I mean, it was a perfect experience.
You guys got it right the first time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
One of the other things you had an opportunity to do, and this is also breaking some barriers, you did some early work in soap operas, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I they're not really memorable experiences. You know, people sometimes, I know that they're celebrating one of those shows, the Guiding Light.
Guiding Light, shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and I, to tell you the truth, I don't really remember that much about it. You know, I wasn't around that much when I did it. I did maybe three shows, I think, and then that was it. I played, I think, a doctor or something. But I don't really have any real recollection of that whole experience.
Dr. Jim Fraser, in case you want to know.
Jim Fraser?
In case you're quizzed on that one.
That's great.
So you, again, that's, I guess, early in your career, back in New York City.
Yeah, I was just a kid in New York, you know. That what was it? That was in the 60s, I believe.
66?
Was it 66?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just a kid.
So what was your first screen role?
Screen role was with Paul Muni in a movie called The Last Angry Man. It was my first movie, and it was his last movie. And it was, I guess it was pretty much towards the end of film noir. But it was a wonderful movie, another classic. I've been very fortunate. I've had great opportunities working with some great actors and doing some very interesting movies.
How do you go about picking your roles?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of great advice from people that I've worked with throughout the years, you know, as far as management and agents and people like that are concerned. And then I was under contract to Berry Gordy, who created Motown. I was on the contract to him for about 7 years. So, you know, one thing would lead to another, and you try to use the best judgment you can have to pick situations. It doesn't always work, but when it does work, it's quite rewarding.
Well, not only did you work for Berry Gordy, you played Berry Gordy.
Yeah, I played Berry Gordy, which was a lot of fun.
Now, what was it like, in essence, playing your boss at one point?
Well, Berry, I loved Berry very much, and you know, and he wanted me to play him, and I really understand him, and I think there's a real empathy. There's a real feeling. If doing him, he knew that I would do him justice. So it was enjoyable for me, especially, you know, when you know somebody really well and you know a lot of their habits and their idiosyncrasies, to try and emulate that or try to bring that to life as an actor is great fun for me. I mean, I'm a character actor, and I love playing characters. I love acting.
Well, being a character actor, I mean, you have that image of the suave, sophisticated guy. Did you have any difficulty with typecasting?
Well, I think that most people, even even now, people still perceive me as this kind of suave, smooth kind of individual, and it's great. You know, it works sometimes, and in times it doesn't work because people, for some reason, can't see beyond that.
Were there roles that you went after that you wanted to get but didn't because you were Billy Dee Williams?
Not that I can think of, no. No, I've had it pretty good. I don't have too many complaints. I've been pretty fortunate. especially with the stuff I've done on stage. You know, that's where you really get a chance to do some really interesting characters.
Plus, you get the
movies. I think is primarily about sex appeal. You know, what's sexy. You know, what it's more about personalities. And I think that, although I think a lot of these actors today are really quite extraordinary. I think they're able to do anything.
When you were working on a role, how much work do you put into researching the character that you play, and how important is it to be, I guess, on the same wavelength or simpatico, as you say, with the director?
Well, I think you know, when everybody's getting along, I think it's a very important because you know, you want to do the best work, and you're sharing experiences, and I think that, I mean, you got to have a good relationship in any situation. I think if you want to get things done, if you want to do the best work you can possibly do. As far as putting characters together and doing research is concerned, I mean, if you're thinking, I think, in terms of dealing with every situation in very specific terms, then your work is never done. You know, you're always looking, if there's something you don't know, you look for it in a book. You look for it, now you have computers. You go out and depending on what kind of a character you're playing, you study individuals that come very close to what it is that you're trying to convey. So, I mean, it's really enjoyable. It's really absolutely enjoyable. But it's all based on trying to be as specific, and if you keep that in mind, trying to be as specific as you can possibly be, which means that you take everything into consideration. And certainly depending on what it is that the situation calls for.
We're talking with actor Billy D. Williams here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800 790-0991, Star Talk 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. A little earlier we talked about your working as a matinee idol, as one of the rarities, an African-American matinee idol. Today, in the year 2002, things are a little different. The Academy Awards certainly showed that. Your thoughts on what took place this year with the emergence of both Denzel Washington and Halle Berry as Best Actor and Actress?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great thing. And I think that it certainly means that people are beginning to think differently. And I think that's always good. And I think that once you start thinking, and getting back to what I was saying earlier, once you start thinking, you know, in a much broader terms, I think then everything becomes a lot more interesting, it seems to me, from my perspective anyway.
We have about 15 minutes to go with Billy here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800-790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD are the numbers to call. Billy is, of course, an actor, a painter, and now an author. His new book is entitled Twilight. He co-wrote it with Elizabeth Atkins Bowman. It is a romance novel. If you have any questions for Billy, lines free. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We're talking with Billy D. Williams. He has a new book out. He wrote with Elizabeth Atkins Bowman. It is called Twilight. It is published by Tor Books. It is a romance novel. Of course, Billy also has worked in a lot of films. You know the thing or two about romance from his acting career. And he's also a painter. 7900-991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers to call. Entertainment Weekly magazine said recently that you're, quote, poised for a comeback. I would assume you feel you haven't gone anywhere, so there's no need to come back.
Yeah, that was a very interesting statement. But I guess I don't really see my life in that way. Comeback. I don't know if I'm having a comeback. I, I just sort of continue to do things, do what I think I like doing, and hope for the best, you know.
You were recently
talking about being stuck with this whole romantic image. And, you know, even when I've been on stage, I did Martin Luther King many years ago on Broadway, and then I did Fences about 8 years ago now. I mean, when I went on stage playing characters, these characters, I mean, the ladies in the audience just couldn't get past the idea that I'm this guy that's from the movies. So I had to really work extra hard to convince people that I was really those characters, which was quite challenging, actually.
I guess it's tough fighting against the image of Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It's very interesting. I mean, that's how I look at it. It's all very interesting. But it creates, you know, it creates certain kind of challenges that you don't expect. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you're really serious about doing this character on a stage, and then you got some lady yelling out in the audience, Billy Dee, Billy Dee, Billy Dee. I mean, it's quite amazing.
Now, how do you
music.
How do you handle a situation like that? Do you break down that fourth wall, or you just keep going, or what?
Yeah, you just keep going, you know. You keep going and trying to find things that I don't know. You just keep going. I think that's the only thing you can do.
You were in a film that was released this summer, Undercover Brother. What was that like, that experience?
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that, working with those guys. I mean, those are some pretty funny guys. And it's a very funny movie. It's like a parody on stereotypes. But I really enjoy it. And anytime anybody asks me to participate in comedy, I jump at the chance. So that was a real opportunity for me, and that's a very funny character.
And you mentioned that you have a film coming up that you're going to be shooting this summer.
Yeah, in Alabama, called Constellation.
And what? It's a
film done by a young man by the name of Jordan Walker Perlman. We did a film that was out last year and got 3 nominations from the Independent Spirit Awards people, and I was one of the nominees for that one. So we're doing this new movie.
And what part do you play?
Well, it's really a wonderful story. It's about a family. It's about this group of people. It's about this lady who dies, and as a result of her death, she plans to bring everybody, the whole family and all of her loved ones together. And I play a guy who's been living in Europe as a painter for many years, and he's like her brother, and he comes back to administer to all of the affairs after her demise. So and it sort of unfolds from there. I mean, and all of a sudden he's confronted by a wife and a mistress and 2 daughters and all of these people. So it's a lovely, beautiful, very warm, very spiritual kind of experience.
When one is shooting a film, there is a lot of downtime. Do you take those opportunities to paint or to write?
Well, I always carry my sketchbook with me, and I always carry my camera with me. My camera serves as a kind of a reference, a device for reference.
So you've had the opportunity to basically combine all of your artistic endeavors while working on a film set.
Yeah, it seems I never stop.
Now, we mentioned you played you played people in real life. You played Gale Sayers. You played Martin Luther King on stage, as you mentioned. You played Barry Gordy. If they were to do the Billy Dee Williams story, who would play you?
Nobody. My son. My son. He's beautiful.
Have your kids followed in your footsteps?
No. My daughter graduated one of the best universities in the country, Brown University, with a bachelor's in fine arts. She's a wonderful painter, actually, in visual arts.
So in a way, they have followed in your footsteps, just in the...
Yeah, I guess to some degree. And of course, my son's a musician, but he's a nutritionist and a personal trainer. He has that business. But they're both great people. But they never really were interested in. I think they had enough of this whole acting experience just by being around me.
To a lot of people,
actors are impossible people to deal with.
To a lot of people, you're Lando Calrissian, but to them, you're just dad.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. That's good. That's how it should be, actually.
Now, do you say actors are impossible people to?
Oh yeah, actors they're like little children. They all want to be patted on the head all the time. I'm told how wonderful they are.
People always get the impression, and wrongly, I would admit to a certain degree that actors just spend all their days hanging out with other actors.
Not me. I don't even like actors. No, I'm only joking. I don't need to hang out with any actors. My second wife was an actress, and that was it for me.
Are there any roles, or not just roles, because you do so many things, is there anything that you haven't done yet that you'd like to do?
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of things I haven't done yet that I'd like to do, but it all remains to be seen. If God is willing, I will do at least a few more things that I've been thinking about doing.
Any roles you'd like to play that you haven't had a chance to, either on the stage or on the screen?
Well, there are two characters that I've always been so really enamored with, and one is Duke Ellington. And I have an idea about how to do that story, but I would have to do him as older. And the other character is Alexandre Dumas, who a lot of people don't know that he was a mulatto. He wrote The Three Musketeers. And those two characters I've always sort of been really intrigued with.
You mentioned Duke Ellington. You, of course, already have played a piano player. You played Scott Joplin.
Scott Joplin, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. I enjoyed doing that. That was interesting. That was a real interesting research.
Now, do you play?
A little tiny bit. I actually, when I was in Toronto, I played a jazz musician. I played... a guy by the name of, this is a fictitious character, Slade Thompson. That was one of the best experiences I've ever had as far as playing a character is concerned. In fact, for 2 weeks I was, after I finished playing him, doing the movie, I was in depression for 2 weeks because I wanted to be Slade Thompson for the rest of my life.
Do you find it difficult sometimes, or very easy to shed a character once you played him?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think if you do, sometimes you've gotten away from the character, but you find that you're still with the character for a long time. It's like you're reviewing. You know, after you've done it, you start reviewing it. At least I do.
And while you're doing the role, do you ever bring the character home?
Not really, no. Not really. I mean, I bring the character home in my thoughts, but I'm not. The behavior is not there, no. I don't think.
Well, the new book is soon to be out. It is called Twilight. It is published by Tor Books. It is a romance novel written by Billy Dee Williams and Elizabeth Atkins Bowman. And, Billy, I thank you very, very much for spending the time with us on the program this evening. It was a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Well, it's been a great pleasure for me. Thank you very much.